We are picking back up in Ezra chapter 4. Just got a couple more things to touch on before we get into chapter 5. Kind of working through the first section of Ezra, that is Ezra chapter 1 through 6. And just in general, what's happening here is, after 70 years in captivity in Babylon, Persia has come in and taken over. And you'll remember that Jeremiah prophesied that it was going to be 70 years that the people of God would spend in Babylon. And after that, then they would be sent forth. Cyrus comes onto the throne. He's the king of Persia. And he commissions a group of Israelites, Jews, men and women from Judah, to go back to the city of Jerusalem. So they've made the journey back. They've laid the foundation for the temple. They're beginning to rebuild that so they can reestablish worship. And in chapter 4, some opposition has risen up. That is opposition from the Samaritans. The chronology of chapter 4 is a little bit more difficult to deal with. Most of Ezra is chronological. However, he kind of inserts some information in here that doesn't take place exactly chronologically. Let me just see if I can kind of touch on that. Tell you what, let's back up and read verses 1 through 5 of chapter 4 real quick. Just kind of recap, and then we'll move on and look at. I'll explain the chronology so you're not too confused by that. So they're back there. They've laid the foundation for the temple. The old who have saw Solomon's temple were disappointed at the smallness of it. Those who hadn't, though, they were rejoicing. So there was kind of a mixed reaction from the crowd. So at this point, opposition begins to rise up. Verse 1 of chapter 4. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the returned exiles were building a temple to the Lord, the God of Israel, they approached Zerubbabel and the heads of the fathers' houses and said, "Let us build with you, for we worship your God as you do. And we've been sacrificing to him ever since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, who brought us here." But Zerubbabel, Jeshua, and the rest of the heads of the fathers' houses in Israel said, "You have nothing to do with us in building a house to our God. But we alone will build to the Lord and the God of Israel, as Cyrus, king of Persia, has commanded us." Then the people of the land discouraged the people of Judah and made them afraid to build, and brought counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, and even to the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So these are the Samaritans who come and say, "We want to help. We want in on this project. We worship God. We've been worshiping God while y'all been off in Babylon." And they reject them, not on the basis that they want to be a part of God's covenant people, but more so on the basis that these Samaritans have acclimated to the culture around them. They worship God, but they were polytheistic. They worshipped all of the other gods as well. So they worship Baal and Asherah and many of the other foreign deities. They did worship the Lord, but they worship him and mingled his worship with all of these other things. And so that statement where they say, "We worship God as you do," not really true. They didn't worship God with the priesthood. They didn't worship God in the temple that God had established as he placed his name in Jerusalem. So after being rebuffed and rejected by the Jews, saying, "This is our project. Cyrus commissioned us. We don't need any help." They begin to withstand them and oppose them and discourage them. And as we're going to see, they're going to use some political persuasion, some diplomacy, writing to the king and to just stir up trouble to cause the building to cease. Now, in verses 5 and 6, the chronology gets a little bit strange. So they're bribing the counselors against the Jews to frustrate their purposes all the days of Cyrus. So remember, Cyrus is the king of Persia who commissioned them to go back, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So there's a couple of other unmentioned kings in here. And so what he wants us to understand is that through political oppression, the Jews are being encouraged, or discouraged rather, from building the temple. Now, when you read in verse 6, in the reign of Ahasuerus, you kind of got a new name in there. So Ahasuerus is Xerxes, or as the NIV and other translations refer to him, as Ahasuerus. He is the king in the book of Esther, Ahasuerus that we read about there. Some versions may say Xerxes. So in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, they wrote an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. So they're going to petition Ahasuerus to put a halt on this rebuilding that's taking place. Now when you jump down to verse 7, in the days of Artaxerxes, you got another king. So are you following? You got Cyrus, Darius, Ahasuerus, and Artaxerxes. Okay, those first three, Cyrus, Darius, and Ahasuerus, they kind of came in relatively quick succession. However, Artaxerxes didn't come along until a little bit later. So there's a gap of time in between Artaxerxes and Ahasuerus. And so he's just trying to get across to us the point that they faced political pressure for the next many years. This brief insert here in chapter 4, verse 7, that involves this communication with Ahasuerus, king of Persia, all the way down to nearly the end of the chapter, verse 23. Essentially what's going to happen, they're going to write to Artaxerxes, and they're going to say, the Jews are rebuilding, and there's no mention of the temple there. Remember, that's kind of what Ezra's talking about now, the rebuilding of the temple. But they're going to write to Artaxerxes, a different king, at a later period of time, and they're just going to say, hey, they're trying to rebuild the city. They're rebuilding the walls. And I was actually studying in Nehemiah chapter 2 today. This seems to be the opposition and the employer of Nehemiah, the cupbearer, who's later going to get permission to go back and to rebuild the city walls. So this takes place some 70 years after the temple is going to be rebuilt. So he's just kind of inserting here all of the political opposition and oppression that the Jews faced as they rebuilt first the temple and then much later the city. So understand there's a gap in a period of time here. So this insert here of verse 7 down to verse 23 does not involve the temple. It involves more so the city of Jerusalem and more so the wall of Jerusalem, which is going to be Nehemiah's project as he comes along many years later and rebuilds the city and rebuilds the walls. So this is kind of insert there. And we'll come back and we'll deal more with verses 7 through 23 of Ezra. But this is correspondence that took place with Artaxerxes. Previously, under the reign of Darius and of others, that's where they pressured them to stop building the temple. So if you were to read through that, you would find out how they were trying to use their power. And when Artaxerxes hears that Jerusalem was indeed a rebellious city and did give problems to the people of the land, he says, you know what, you're right. For the good of the king and for the good of Persia, go ahead and cease. So he sends a cease and desist to stop the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem. And Nehemiah is going to come and he's going to restart that project at a later point in time. So anybody want to, that may have been clear as mud. It was for me too until I actually started getting to Nehemiah. And as I progressed through Nehemiah, things begin to become more clear for me. So if it's unclear now, just hang tight. You'll probably understand as we continue studying. And just as you get a better understanding of the book as a whole and of the events as a whole, then the chronology begins to make a little more sense. So let's go ahead and get into chapter 5, to about the very last verse of chapter 24. It kind of details. So if you think of verse 6 as being the end of a section, then this insert 7 to 23, and then verse 24 kind of picks up where verse 6 left off. So they're trying to rebuild the temple. Then verse 24, through this political oppression during the reign of Darius and other kings, then the work on the house of God that is in Jerusalem stopped, and it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So maybe that'll actually help you a little bit. Remember, Cyrus and Darius are the ones that they're first writing to. Ahasuerus and Artaxerxes come along later. Okay. So as they're trying to stop the building of the temple, it was during the reign of Darius that this political pressure was exerted, and they stopped. Later, Ahasuerus and Artaxerxes are going to continue to apply. The enemies are going to apply political pressure to stop not the building of the temple, because that will have been done by then, but rather the building of the city. So he kind of inserts that event regarding Artaxerxes there, and then just kind of concludes saying, through the political pressure, the people stopped building the temple. So let's go ahead and pick up in chapter 5. We're going to see here the construction resuming. We'll just look at the first five verses of Ezra 5. So they're stopped building the temple. And now the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of God of Israel, who was over them. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, arose and began to rebuild the house of God that is in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were with them, supporting them. At that same time, Tattenai, the governor of the province beyond the river, and Shethar Bozenai and their associate came to them and spoke to them thus, "Who gave you a decree to build this house and to finish the structure?" They also asked him, "What are the names of the men who are building this building?" But in the eye of their God was on the elders of the Jews, and they did not stop them until the report should reach Darius, and then an answer be returned by letter concerning it. So they stopped building for some period of time. I think it was 16 years. So in between the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5, there's a 16-year period of time where the children of God, the people of God, had completely quit building the temple. And so it picks back up in verse 1 of chapter 5, saying a couple of prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, who were prophets that God raised up to encourage the building of the temple, the new temple, and the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem. He stirred them up at that time to encourage the people in regards to this. Flip real quick to the book of Haggai. It's going to take me a minute to find it, so we go there so infrequently. I'd want to read a few words to you from Haggai. We kind of look at this book perhaps in isolation, and there's some good lessons that we can gain from it, but you see the message that he brings to the people who've stopped building. So they stopped building God's house for 16 years. They postponed the work. Listen to the message that Haggai brings to them in Haggai 1, just starting in the first verse. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to the hand of Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Now here's his message, just to motivate them to get going again. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of God. 12 years have passed, no building. It's not time yet. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in paneled houses while this house lies in ruin? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You've sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you've never had enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them in a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills, bring wood, and build the house that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified in it. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. When you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. So what's happening is, because the people of God have ceased the building of God's house for 16 years, God has punished them. That's what he sent them back to do. That's what he commissioned them to do. And because of a lack of faith, yes, there was oppression. Yes, there were enemies. But because of a lack of faith, they stopped. Through political pressure exerted by their enemies, they stopped building for 16 years. So God punishes them. You go back and you read in Deuteronomy, when you disobey God, he's going to send these various plagues, and he's going to send these various punishments, and he's going to send famines, and he's going to send your enemy to wake you up. And that's what's happening, because these people have disobeyed God. And so finally, he sends Haggai the prophet to say, hey, the reason that you're putting your money in a bag with holes, the reason you're sowing much and reaping little, the reason there's no rain, it's because my house is lying in ruins while you're all focused on building your houses. So first do the Lord's work, and then go about your own business. They had kind of gotten things backwards. They had given themselves first to their own work, and then to the work of God. They made it secondary. Can you think of anything that Jesus said regarding priorities that kind of might tie in here? Yeah, Matthew 6:33, first kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So rather than focusing on our life and our kingdom, Jesus says that we're to put God's kingdom first, and that's exactly what was taking place there. So the prophet Haggai and the prophet Zechariah come, and they encourage the people to begin rebuilding. So in the area beyond the river, that is, he's kind of the governor of the region of Judah. He says, hey, who gave y'all permission to start building again? And so God's hand was with them. They're working in under the authority of God. And so he says, who said that you could rebuild the city? Who said you could rebuild the temple? And so they say, you know, God was with us. And so they send back to inquire as to whether permission had really been given for this building project to continue. So let's look at verses 6 through 17. This is going to be 6 to the end of the chapter. Anybody want to read that? I get a volunteer. That's kind of some tough reading there, some of the names. Anybody want to volunteer to tackle that and spare my voice for